Come and hear abortion survivor Melissa Odin, Jeannie Mancini from the March for Life, and Blaze TV and radio host Steve Dace at the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday and Saturday, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Lutherans for Life National Conferences provide valuable information and encouragement to you, your congregation, and your community. The 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Learn more at lutheransforlife.org/conference.
And let me just say, as a Southern Baptist that grew up reading the Bible, maybe a backslidden Baptist, but I still know the Bible. Jesus never once talked about abortion. Never once. And it was happening back in ancient times. It was happening during his time. Never once mentioned it. And for people perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ down to one issue, it's heresy. Go, if you don't believe me, if that makes you angry, why don't you do something you haven't done in a long time? Open the Bible, open the New Testament, read the red letters. You won't see it there. And yet there are people who are using Jesus as a shield to make 10-year-old rape girls go through a living and breathing hell here on earth. They've also conveniently overlooked the parts of the New Testament where Jesus talks about taking care of the needy, taking care of those who are helpless, who live a hopeless life.
That is MSNBC host Joe Scarborough commenting Friday on abortion, Jesus, and the Bible. Well, besides being an argument from silence, is it true that nothing Jesus ever said can in any way apply to the situation of abortion? And how is it he thinks that pro-lifers are perverting the gospel? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, September the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be responding to Joe Scarborough's comments there on abortion, Jesus, and the Bible. Pastor Michael Selamink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor Will Whedon getting an introduction to the catalog of testimonies in the Lutheran Confessions. Then it is Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer responding to your unanswered Bible questions. Joining us to discuss MSNBC host Joe Scarborough's recent comments on abortion, Jesus, and the Bible, Pastor Michael Selamink. He is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Michael, welcome back.
Good day, Todd. What a privilege it is to have a conversation with you and with all of your listeners.
So why do you think MSNBC host Joe Scarborough was suddenly concerned about what Jesus said about abortion?
Well, Todd, I hope it is because he genuinely has concern for the well-being of his neighbors and that he cares about the plight of people who experience surprise pregnancies. My suspicions, though, are that it has to do with us being maybe 6 weeks out from midterm elections. There's campaigning going on. We're only a few months removed from the Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs case that reversed Roe v. Wade. It's important to remember that Joe Scarborough and MSNBC are in the news business, which is a business. And so he's not speaking to persuade. He is speaking to outrage, because the more people feel insecure and afraid, the more they'll turn to the news and watch more ads and sell more products. But I'm grateful that Joe has brought this subject up and has connected abortion to Christianity, because that gives us an opportunity to address the culture and clear up some of the misconceptions and really proclaim the gospel.
Historically, have Christians ever been in favor of abortion?
No, not from the very beginning. One of the earliest documents we have from outside of the New Testament, the Didache, the teachings of the 12 apostles, actually explicitly condemns abortion by name. This document, as far as we can tell, was written around the same time as the New Testament. There's another ancient document called the Epistle of Barnabas that comes out in the same terms and explicitly condemns this. As a matter of fact, it's one of the unique things about early Christianity was its respect for the sanctity of life, especially the marginalized, thinking about unborn children, but also slaves, people who were forced to be gladiators, fight in the arenas, those who were captured in wars. even women or people of other races. Christianity in the early church's concern for marginalized persons actually revolutionized the world. It's part of the reason why the church caught on and the gospel spread, is because people could see the way that the love that Jesus had taught his followers to show, the love that he embodied, how that connected to the message about God's forgiveness for all humankind, the atonement for sins, the hope of eternal life. That was very persuasive at that time. And, you know, reading back through the church fathers or Christian history throughout 20 centuries, you would be hard-pressed to find any major thinker who at any point accepted abortion as something that would even be permissible for Christians, much less something that would be endorsed. The historical record is just unanimous on that. And that includes some pretty explicit statements by Martin Luther himself.
So does Jesus have anything to say directly or indirectly about abortion?
Absolutely he does. As a matter of fact, Todd, I think as Lutherans, we believe that everything Jesus said relates to the sanctity of life. The whole message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is about how much God loves humankind and how much it is his will for every human being to have life, not just biological life in this world, but everlasting life in his kingdom. The gospel explicitly says and proclaims how God creates and redeems and calls every human being from the moment of fertilization to forever to be his precious treasure. I mean, that is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that the word abortion itself doesn't occur anywhere in the recorded sayings we have of Jesus, but indirectly, it's not very difficult to put together the case to connect the dots. Jesus endorses what the scriptural tradition says about unborn children being persons worthy of protection. One of Jesus' seven words on the cross comes from the very beginning of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Later in that psalm, just a few verses later, there is also a verse which says, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. So Jesus, even from the cross, is calling to mind the sanctity of every human life. If we trust the sources we have for Jesus' words, the Gospels, then we also remember what St. Luke has to say about the Virgin Mary's visit to her relative Elizabeth, and how upon hearing Mother Mary's voice, Elizabeth proclaims that the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and so ascribing very human personhood characteristics to the unborn. Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, for example, talks about a situation in which the surrounding culture considered a certain person to be half dead, right? We remember that Jesus talks about this man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers who beat him and stripped him and left him half dead. And Jesus addresses how the gospel treats people who are considered to be less than human or not entirely alive, not to put them to death, but to provide care. And Jesus actually explicitly says, go and do likewise. But his words about the preciousness of children, you can find everywhere in the gospels, from when he says, let the little children come to me. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Do not despise any of these little ones. People were bringing even infants to him to bless them. Jesus proclaims, out of the mouths of infants, you have ordained praise. So his regard for the sanctity of human life, even amongst the very littlest of human beings, is profound. But then Jesus also repeatedly reinforces what the scriptures say about not murdering. You shall not murder. He actually, in Matthew chapter 5, then expands what people commonly understood murder to encompass. And that biblical context, you think back to a passage such as Exodus 21, actually applies that commandment specifically in the setting of unborn or gestating life. So, yeah, Jesus said a lot about the sanctity of life. As a matter of fact, his entire message and mission was about this gospel that God loves every human life and we get to receive them as a gift and a privilege.
So the rest of the Bible completely supports how Jesus reads the issue of taking an innocent human life.
Absolutely. And it's not even just limited, Todd, to what Jesus said or what the rest of the Bible said. It's actually embodied in what Jesus did, right? In his acts of incarnation and redemption, in the atonement for the sins of humankind on the cross, and who Jesus is. He comes into our world in such a way that he actually specifically extends the love of God even to unborn human life. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Galatians chapter 4, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, the same way that we all are. Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every way, and that includes first entering our world as an embryo, something that we celebrate at Christmas time and at the time of the festival of the Annunciation in March, that God first entered our world not as a full-grown, able-bodied, and attractive man, but as an unborn embryo gestating from the very beginning. Not because God couldn't have done it any other way, but because the message he very much wanted to send, the sum total of the entire historical relationship that God had with humankind, was that it is God's grace that makes every human life special. And it doesn't matter what you look like, or where you come from, what you have done, or what you can't do, God extends that preciousness to every human being.
Even if Jesus were silent about the taking of innocent life, would that make it permissible?
Of course not. Jesus never explicitly addresses cannibalism, for example, and I don't think anybody in their right mind, Joe Scarborough included, would make the argument that Jesus either permits or is in favor of cannibalism. It's important to remember that the main thrust of Jesus's mission was to talk about humankind's relationship to God, not to necessarily give a chapter and verse instruction about every situation that people will face. But he has given us enough in the law and the gospel of God's word that we can deduce and apply that to every situation that humankind will face.
So what's fundamentally wrong with Joe Scarborough's argument from silent?
Well, those who are thinking people recognize that an argument from silence can never be conclusive. In other words, you can't say that Jesus must be in favor of abortion because he didn't say anything against it. Well, he never said anything for it either. And as we've heard already, Jesus did address the situation of the sanctity of life and in very explicit ways. But more than that, there's a couple of category errors that Joe Scarborough makes in this particular argument. He's not the only one or the first person that's made this assertion, and it's really important for Christians to understand how we can give a response to that. The first difficulty is sort of the implication that the only reason that Christians are opposed to abortion is because the Bible says you shall not murder. Now, that statement is true, but as Lutherans who appreciate our existence living in the two realms of God's reign, the two kingdoms, we also understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the basis for our legal system or for our political decisions. There is a case to be made about the wrongness of abortion just on the basis of sound reason and the scientific evidence that's available to us. For my money, I believe that most folks feel if we're going to have any government at all, perhaps the first law that a government ought to make and enforce above all the others is the people with the power can't take advantage of the people who don't have the power. That's the best way to ensure a safe, free, and fair society, which is what we believe that government should do. Joe Scarborough's implication that only Christians are opposed to abortion is just false. There are plenty of people who are not Christian who are opposed to abortion, and our opposition to access to abortion has as much to do with good public policy as it does with the ethics of Jesus. But sort of his second category confusion is that unborn children do not qualify as persons. He knows full well that Jesus says an awful lot about taking care of the helpless and the hopeless, right? In the quote that we had at the beginning of this segment, he specifically said, go read your Bibles and see what Jesus says about taking care of the helpless and the hopeless. And the problem is that he somehow excludes gestating human beings from that category of helpless and hopeless, and Jesus includes them.
Pastor Michael Salamink is our guest. He's executive director of Lutherans for Life. We're responding to MSNBC host Joe Scarborough's recent comments on abortion, Jesus, and the Bible. So in a nutshell, how do we respond when someone asserts that Jesus permits abortion?
To get a taste of love, you can call it what you like.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the boards of regents at our Concordia universities and seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you were to travel back 500 years to the Wartburg Castle, you would find an odd sight. Junker George, that is, Knight George, sequestered away in the castle, translating the Bible into German. Who was this odd knight? None other than Martin Luther, during the time he was hidden away in the Wartburg Castle, and during which time he started translating the Bible into German. To learn more about this work and its effect on the world and on Christianity, pick up your copy of the Luther Witness today. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to MSNBC host Joe Scarborough's recent comments on abortion, Jesus, and the Bible. Pastor Michael Salamink is our guest, executive director of Lutherans for Life. So, Michael, in a nutshell, how do we respond when someone asserts that Jesus permits abortion?
My first response would be to thank that person for even caring what Jesus says about anything at all. To thank that person for caring enough about abortion to think through its rightness or wrongness, then I might ask a question and say, I'm so glad you're interested in what Jesus says and in what the Bible says about abortion. Would it be acceptable to you if we explored those things together? And then that gives the opportunity to open the scriptures to places like the Gospels, where Jesus talks about letting the little children come to me, or to the Psalms. And Jesus, of course, endorses everything that's written in the Psalms. And you can go to Psalm 139, you knit me together in my mother's womb, or Jesus talks about how God created in the beginning, and going back to Genesis and seeing that humankind has been made in God's image. And then exploring those things together and finding those specific places where the Word of God can do its work, changing hearts to be able to see that it's actually every word on every page of Scripture that speaks to the sanctity of human life.
How do you respond to Joe Scarborough's assertion that pro-life Christians are perverting the gospel?
Well, he is not wrong that there are people who pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we all ought to be concerned and opposed to anything that misrepresents what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Again, I'm thankful to Joe Scarborough for even bringing up the gospel as a topic of conversation. And I might ask a question. Okay, what do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about? Because that opens a space then for us to be able to explore that. And the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks for itself. It is about God coming into our world to take on the punishment for our sins and bridge the gap that we are not able to do on our behalf, the things that are necessary for our salvation, to show his great love for us and for all humankind. And any opportunity we have to talk about that is a wonderful opportunity the Holy Spirit gives to us. But the sanctity of life, and especially the issue of surprise pregnancy and access to abortion, is one that is just ripe and ready for the gospel to be proclaimed into, because it is, in fact, grace, God's free and undeserved favor, his acts on our behalf that are embodied by the move for the sanctity of life. Jesus is clear in places like John chapter 15 that all humankind, because of our creaturely nature and because of our sinfulness, we are all helplessly dependent upon the mercy of God as much as unborn embryos are dependent upon the bodies of their mother. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Or St. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Every human being before God is just like an unborn child, and God is to us as a heavenly father or a mother who provides for all of our needs, body and soul. And that's what the gospel is all about. And so the suggestion that perversions of that gospel are unacceptable is one that we can absolutely affirm, even as we clarify what the gospel itself is about.
And that gospel of full and free forgiveness, does it extend even to the sin of abortion?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you have the opportunity to talk about that, because the truth is the sanctity of life means every human being. And that includes even people who have partaken in violence against their own children, who suffer the grief and guilt of aborting their babies. The message of the gospel for them says your life is just as precious as that life that was lost. And God does not want to lose you as well. For that reason, he has sent Jesus into the world to take away the punishment for your sins, to give you the hope of everlasting life, to live as his child, to be his own, even with all of your faults and failures, so that you may be set free from the power that the devil wants to have over you through this sin. And God, even his forgiveness is powerful enough to redeem and repurpose that awful experience, those mistakes and failures that you have been through, to use them to serve others and to spare them from the kind of misery that you've had to endure as well.
How is the pro-life position actually in perfect harmony with the biblical gospel?
Again, the recognition that all human life is completely and helplessly dependent upon God's mercy, and that he extends that mercy freely and fully to every member of our race. That is a privilege that he does not give to any other creature. And Jesus's mission, you know, as he stated in John chapter 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The assumption that it is true that pregnancy is a burden, and that surprise pregnancy is a complicated burden. That's why we call it childbearing, because there are a lot of difficulties involved. But the assumption that the best way to address that is with abortion, that the implication that our solution to difficulty or suffering is death, is violently opposed to the gospel, which says that Jesus has brought life as the answer even to our most difficult situations. Death is the enemy. It is precisely what Jesus intends to set us free from. And that is what the debate about abortion access is all about. That and what makes human life worth living. Lutherans have understood for 500 years that it is not our works or any bodily characteristic or ability that we have, but it is God's love for us in creating and redeeming and calling us. And the gospel extends that to every human being.
Finally, what can you tell us about the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday, October 21st and Saturday, October 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois?
It's going to be our first national conference since prior to the pandemic restrictions. We are excited to gather together. We have three really outstanding keynote speakers. Steve Dace, who is nationally syndicated conservative radio talk show host. Also, Melissa Odin, who is a survivor of an abortion attempt herself. Her mother underwent an abortion procedure while she was expecting, and Melissa survived that. And then Jeannie Mancini, who is the president of the National March for Life. And they'll have wonderful encouragement and insight to share with us. And then we also have 16 different breakout sessions that approach the sanctity of life relative to a lot of different situations and issues, from human trafficking to critical race theory, from end of life to living with disability, from community activism to how we can raise our children to understand the sanctity of their life and their neighbors. We're getting together for a full day and a half. We'll be done Saturday by midday to give folks a chance to get back for worship on Sunday. We're going to gather together for celebration and education and fellowship and encouragement. We'd love to have as many folks as possible join us.
Find out more about the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday, October 21st and Saturday, October 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois, at lutheransforlife.org/conference, lutheransforlife.org/conference. Pastor Michael Solomeek is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Michael, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity, and God continue to bless your service.
We are going to introduce you to a document called the Catalog of Testimonies. It's an appendix to the Lutheran Confessions, these basic documents of the Lutheran faith from the Reformation. Pastor Will Wheaton will make that introduction next. God's Song of Deliverance is your song, too. Dive into the Book of Exodus with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Reed Lessing. Find out more about Deliver Us at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues, Etc., 713-855-2681.
Our Lord Jesus Christ may have ascended, but you can find Him at Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Atlanta, where He is ever present in His Word and sacraments. Join us for the Divine Service on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Bible study at 9 a.m. Ascension is a distinctively confessional Lutheran church located in the Buckhead neighborhood of Atlanta, Georgia. Visit us on the web at ascension-lcms.com.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio; Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois; Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota; Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado; Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran, Perrysburg, Ohio; St. Paul Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska; The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California; and Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.